Bible this morning. Turn with us over to Samuel 15. I don't need you to stand this morning. I'd give you out because I'm going to be rambling a little bit. But I do appreciate you being here this morning. I want to try to take this time and use it wisely. I don't take it lightly that you've come to church this morning. I hope you've come this way to listen to some preaching. And Brother Tim had a great message this morning on listening. And so I hope that we have our ears on to listen to what the Lord has sent us today. I know a lot of places where you could be, but it's no place like this place. Amen. And I appreciate the Lord so much. Y'all pray for me. The Bible said in 1 Samuel chapter number 15, if you have a Scofield, you can find it around page 334. Samuel also said unto Saul, "The Lord sent me to anoint thee to be king over his people, over Israel." Now we must never forget, we are God's people. But honey, Israel is God's nation. And we better be careful about putting our hands on what is God's. We ought to be praying for the leadership of our country that they always stand on Israel's side. Because honey, when we cross that border and we say we no longer on your side, there goes America. And I'm convinced of it. And so I hope how our nation leaders could get a little concept of what's dear to God's heart. But also I want to say the church is dear to God's heart this morning because He died and gave Himself for it. And I appreciate the old rugged cross. But He said, "I want you to have a king over His people, over Israel. Now therefore hearken thou unto the voice of the words of the Lord." Now, we hear a lot, but I wonder, do we really hearken? And then he says in verse 2, "Thus saith the Lord of hosts, I remember that which Amalek did to Israel, how he laid wait for him in the way and when he came up from Egypt. Now go and smite Amalek and utterly destroy all that they have and spare them not, but slay both man, women, infant and suckling, ox, sheep, camel and ass." And Saul gathered the people together, numbered them in Telem, 200,000 footmen and 10,000 men of Judah. And Saul came to a city of Amalek and laid wait in the valley. Saul said unto the Kenites, "Go and depart, get you down from among the Amalekites, lest I destroy you with them." It does matter who you run around with this morning. "For ye showed kindness to all the children of Israel when they come up out of Egypt." So the Kenites departed from the Amalekites. And so Saul smote the Amalekites from Havilah until thou comest to Shur that is over against Egypt. Verse 8. And he took Agag, the king of the Amalekites, alive, and utterly destroyed all the people at the edge of the sword. But Saul and the people spared Agag, and the best of the sheep, and of the oxen, and of the fatlings, and the lambs, and all that was good, and would not utterly destroy them, but everything that was vile and refused, that they destroyed utterly. Then came the word of the Lord to Samuel, saying, "It repenteth me that I set up Saul to be king, for he's turned back from following me, and hath not performed my commandments, and it grieved Samuel," or it angered him, "and he cried unto the Lord all night. And when Samuel rose up to meet Saul in the morning, it was told Samuel, saying, Saul came to Carmel. And behold, he set him up a place, and has gone about and passed on and gone down to Gilgal. And Samuel came to Saul, and Saul said to him, Blessed be thou of the Lord, I perform the commandment of the Lord." Verse 14. And Samuel said, "What meaneth then this bleating of the sheep in mine ears and the lowing of the oxen which I hear?" And Saul said, "They brought them from the Amalekites, For the people, we always want to blame it on somebody else, don't we? For the people spared the best of the sheep and the oxen to sacrifice unto the Lord thy God, and the rest we've utterly destroyed. Then Samuel said to Saul, stay and I'll tell you what the Lord hath told me this night. And he said, well, say on. And Samuel said, when thou wast little in thine own sight, wast thou not made the head of the tribes of Israel? And the Lord anointed thee king over Israel. And the Lord sent you on a journey and said, go and utterly destroy the sinners, the Amalekites, and fight against them till they be consumed. Wherefore then didst thou not obey the voice of the Lord, but didst fly upon the spoil and didst evil in the sight of the Lord? And Saul said to Samuel, yeah, I've obeyed the voice of the Lord. I've gone the way which the Lord sent me, and have brought Agag, the king of Amalek, and have utterly destroyed the Amalekites. But the people, he said, now I've done what you said do, but now the people didn't. He's pushing the blame. Do you live with anybody that pushes the blame on somebody else? I wonder, are you one of them that pushes the blame on somebody else? And so this is what he said. But the people took the spoil, the sheep and the oxen, and the chief of the things which should have been utterly destroyed to sacrifice the Lord thy God in Gilgal. Now, I don't know what his problem is. He's large and in charge. He's king. Honey, he could have done anything he wanted to do. And he's put the blame on somebody else. That's where we get in a lot of problems. We put blame on somebody else when the finger ought to be back at us and said, it's me, O Lord, it's me. It's not my brother. It's not my sister. It's not my church. It's not my government. It's me, O Lord, it is me. And Samuel said, hath the Lord as great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices and obeying the voice of the Lord? Now watch your Bible. Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to hearken than the fat of rams. Now, I want to say something here before I get on to the title of the message. Why would he say that obedience is better than sacrifice? Well, sacrifice is external, but obedience is internal. If God's got you, He can have any sacrifice out of you He wants. Honey, it's easy. Sacrifices are temporal, but obedience is eternal. I mean, if God's got us, then He's got anything He wants through us. And then sacrifice, watch this. Sacrifice may have an ear for the praise of men, but obedience is for the glory of God. And now I want to preach out of this topic in verse 14. Then Samuel said, now you really killed all this stuff God told you to kill. I inserted that. It ain't in the Bible. I'm not switching Bibles on you. What meaneth then this bleating of the sheep in mine ears and the lowing of the oxen which I hear? And I will preach on this topic this morning. If God had helped me and the Holy Ghost would trust me on, be sure your sin will find you out. Be sure your sin will find you out. Now, first of all, in verse 2, there's a Bible character called Amalek. Amalek was the grandson of Saul. He was of Esau. He was the son of the flesh. Esau had Amalek by a concubine. And so certainly the commentators write that he was a son of the flesh. Now watch this thing of this Bible character called Amalek, because he is a type of the flesh. And I want to remind you this morning that flesh is abroad. Flesh is abroad. In verse 2, watch what happens. Now, thus saith the Lord of hosts, I remember that which Amalek did to Israel, how he laid wait for him in the way when he came up from Egypt. Now, notice here, Amalek was waiting on him when he come out of Egypt. Being in Egypt is a type of sin for God's people. But aren't you glad that He brought you out crossed some seas and put you over in the promised land and got you out from that stiff arm of Pharaoh. There's nobody like Jesus. Honey, Satan is Pharaoh. He's the devil. And he loves to hold people captive this morning. And as soon as these young'uns got out of Egypt and they crossed out of that Red Sea, they found out that that flesh is abroad. When you got saved, it was wonderful. I mean, God washed away your sins. But honey, it's something He didn't wash away was your flesh that's in you this morning. And buddy, oh Amalek, he's just waiting on you. He's lying in wait on our journey home. And he's waiting on everybody under the sound of my voice. He's a hitchhiker. He's a rude creature this morning. Oh, I wish that we could all shoot him in the head and put him out of his misery this morning. Boy, I'm going to tell you what, this thing of the flesh, I mean, it's unbelievable. Flesh is abroad. If you don't believe me, just cut on the TV. I've never seen so many naked women on a TV in all my life. I've never seen so many naked men exposing flesh in all my life. You ought to cover up your flesh this morning, honey. God ain't within 20 miles of promoting flesh. The Holy Ghost is in the flesh-killing business. The reason you're in a bunch of trouble this morning, because of flesh. Flesh is terrible. Flesh is awful. And you better watch your flesh. Flesh is abroad now. First of all, flesh is a traveler. He comes right out of Egypt with you. Boy, I wish he could stay back over yonder in Egypt. Okay, now, boy, this flesh is something else. Ain't it? Flesh is eat up with jealousy, animosity, pride, bigotry. I mean, this thing is some kind of something. He is a traveler, but he's also a tyrant. Oh, he appears every time on our journey home. How many times have you been doing pretty good, but all of a sudden Amalek jumped on board and your flesh reared up and you found out that you had somebody hitchhiking on you that you wished that you did not have? I wish I could watch my tongue. Sometimes my mouth engages before my brain does. Does any of you ladies live with a man like that this morning? Can I hear you say amen right now? I preached revival in Tennessee this weekend. When I got on, them men needed to go to a rubbing doctor. They'd been elbowed all week long. Can I tell you, honey, this thing of the flesh is awful this morning. Boy, flesh is rampant. I mean, it's unbelievable how we promote flesh. Oh, Joel Osteen, has one of the biggest places where people assemble. I won't call it a church. One of the biggest places they assemble in America. And he's there promoting a flesh prosperity gospel. Honey, listen, God ain't in propping up your flesh. God ain't in providing for your flesh. The Holy Ghost is in killing your flesh. How many times this meeting broke out and you embarrassed your flesh? Some of you need a good embarrassing and get it over with. You're so prideful. You won't let God use you. You're afraid to raise your hands because you know what? It don't stimulate the flesh. It tells me that I got the answer, glory to God. Don't tell me I can't raise my hand being a Baptist. Don't tell me I can't shout. Don't tell me I can't get excited, honey. I wish somebody done something for me that nobody else could ever do. And he deserves all of our honor and all of our praise this morning. And we better get in this flesh-killing business today. It's hog-killing time. The prodigal son got way away from God because he's full of himself. And he wound up in a hog pen and he loved it a little while. Flesh loves slop. How low will you go? Honey, flesh loves filth. And you better not trust your flesh. Now, flesh is abroad. It's a traveler, it's a tyrant, and it's a traitor. You better not turn your back on your flesh. I mean, you better not say, now listen, buddy, you stay right here, and I'll see about you in a little bit. You better fight that rascal every day of your life. Hey, your flesh didn't want to come to church this morning because you lost an hour this morning. Boo-hoo, hoo-hoo-hoo. Your flesh didn't like it because somebody got your seat. It ain't your seat! Somebody, I think, got my parking spot this morning. My flesh didn't like it. I wish we had so many cars in this lot. I had to park at City Hall and hitchhike down to this church. And we may do it before it's over with. Amen. Hey, Brother Dennis said last night, these other churches go to staying so liberal, God's going to go to pouring folks in here who want truth. I say, hey, I think that's what's happening anyhow. Let them keep them old people in tradition. Them people wanting something for their life. Them people wanting something for their hope. Let them come on down Liberty Baptist Church. We'll preach to them by the grace of God. And hey, we'll love on them and we'll be a blessing. And they won't have to vote about a blessed thing when they get here. Hallelujah! I mean, they ain't got to vote on doing right at this church. We can just do right by the grace of God. We're going to keep these mossbacks knocked in the head for the glory of God. Woo! Hallelujah! You know what a mossback is, don't you? He's one that thinks he's in charge. He's one he thinks he got voted in to run the preacher. We take care of them mossbacks out behind the church on that third limb out yonder. Yeah, man! Hallelujah! What are you talking about? We ain't got time for foolishness in the house of God. This is the real deal, honey. Jesus is coming, and we better get right for the journey. Y'all look like some of that crowd I've been preaching to this week. You know, I wondered why this ministry didn't draw the older crowd. And I really pondered about that principle. You know, when we started, Michelle, I thought, sure, all the older crowd would flock in here this old time preaching. But you know why a lot of older people won't come? Because they're tied into tradition. And they don't know what it is how to run a church without voting. They don't know how it is to have a place where the Holy Ghost takes over. And they may not have preaching and they may have preaching. And they don't understand. But boy, I thank God for them folks that do want to know something about it. Amen. You know, the old saying, you can't teach an old dog new tricks, that's pretty true, ain't it? Thank God I was a young dog. Somebody taught me something. Now turn into an old dog. Amen. Hey, some of these old dogs still good enough to tree every now and then. Hey, don't give up on your preacher because you're getting a little age and a little miles. I still know how to bark pretty good. Oh, oh, oh. Hallelujah. I still know, honey, when I get on a track and run him, I still know what the sin of the Holy Ghost is. I still know what old time religion ought to be. Thank God we got a Jesus this morning. Bunch of hogwash going on in churches God ain't within 4 days of. Well, I just pulled the clutch out a little bit. We're going somewhere this morning. Boy, we better watch Amalek. He loves to jump on board. And he don't care if you're in the church house. He don't care if you're in the White House. He don't care if you're in the Pat House. It don't matter to him, honey. He is very much abroad this morning. Boy, he's a tyrant. I don't like him at all. I tell you this, God don't like him. God don't like him. Boy, I'm glad we didn't have choir singing this morning. I'm going to preach an hour and a half. Folks got on me about preaching long this week. I thought I was preached out, but I felt a little preaching come on a while ago. Flesh is abroad. Number 2, verse 2, watch this. Flesh is abusive. Then saith the Lord of hosts, I remember that which Amalek did to Israel. How he laid wait for him in the way when he came up from Egypt. This is so good, I don't know if I'm going to get through it or not. But in 25:18, Deuteronomy 25:18, let's look what he done, what God's talking about right here. You don't have to, you can just keep your little spot. I got on these speed dials this morning. I'll get there and read it. Deuteronomy 25, look what he says in verse number 18. The Lord says, remember in verse 17 what Amalek did unto thee, by the way, when you were come forth out of Egypt. I mean, you was doing pretty good, but all of a sudden Amalek showed up. Can I get a witness this morning? How he met thee by the way, watch, and smote the hindmost of thee, even all that were feeble,
behind thee when thou wast faint and weary, and he feared not God." You know what he said? You know who that rascal got? He got the ones that wasn't keeping up with the pack. He got them that was laid back there, that wasn't studying their Bible, wasn't praying, wasn't participating in the church house. He said that's the first one that he got. You better watch lagging behind with God, honey. Amalek will eat your lunch. Matter of fact, you're pretty safe right in the middle of the pack. Let me sit down right between y'all this one. Pretty good, just right in between somebody. You know, everybody's wanting to lead. That's good. But don't nobody want to be behind, because, honey, somebody get you back down. It's pretty safe in between folks. Matter of fact, old Eutychus wouldn't got no trouble if he was leaning on the inside of the church instead of leaning on the outside of the church. Because when you fall, you're going to where you're leaning this morning. Praise God. That's some of the best preaching we've had in Bowden in years. Now you watch this, boys. If you're leaning this way and you fall, you're going out. But if you're leaning in, you fall, you're falling. I want to fall in. Would you scoot over, Miss Vicky? And now you stay here. I want to get right here by this old big one.
Amen. Get it.
Now, buddy, you tell me now, how in the world is Amalek going to get me when I'm in the middle of things? I won't be right in the middle of it. I won't be right in the midst of it. I don't want to be hearing about what God done. I want to be doing what God's doing this morning. It amazes me where I find myself when I come to. Honey, Amalek's going to get you if you lagging behind. I can't tell you the countless families that's missing this morning because they got behind on what God was a-doing. And they lagged behind. You know what? The devil always gets the weak one. And this is what amazes me. I can preach my heart out. And I can preach everything in me. It's just like what Brother Tim said this morning. Don't nobody listen. Oh, all these storms is coming to my house. Hello, pick the phone up. That's the only way to get you in church is to put it on you real good. I mean, that's about the most goofy thing anybody could say. Why is all this happening to me? Why is it happening in my house? Woo! Woo! Why is it happening? Because he loves you and he's wanting to put you back where you're supposed to be this morning. Oh, Lord, I've got too much liberty this morning now. I may hurt your feelings for I'm done with you today. Boy, Amalek, he jumps on and he gets all of those that are behind. My goodness. He's abusive. The flesh hurts God's people. I want to tell you this. First of all, not only is flesh abroad, but flesh is abusive. Now, the flesh is in us. Romans 7, verse 15. And some of us has got more of it in us than what we want to let on like we got. Amen. I mean, it don't take nothing to flip your trigger and your temper goes off. Like a sounding, blazing alarm. Somebody to say a little something to you and rocks your world. Somebody has something a little better than you, or somebody's doing a little better job than you, and that old jealousy of the flesh pops up, honey. That thing's a green-eyed monster. Somebody pull up in a new car and you say, why, they got a new car. Somebody wears a new pocketbook and some of you little snooty gals, you say, well, look at them. They just think they suck. All it is, you wish you had the pocketbook. You wish God was a blessing you like that, and you ain't got enough guts to get an altar and say, God, give me the blessing this morning. Oh, green-eyed monster of jealousy. Brother David calling somebody saying, well, why ain't I singing? Because you ain't got the right spirit in you. High five, Brother David. Well, I didn't come to sing. I didn't come to sing. Green-eyed monster. Well, you ain't preaching me. Well, honey, get right with God. Maybe He'll give you a message to preach. If you ain't getting this pulpit, I'm the pastor here. Go on down yonder at the rest homes and the street homes. There's plenty of places to preach. Maybe if you can't be responsible over little things, He won't let you be responsible about big things. If you can't pastor, then honey, if you can't be pastored, you can't pastor. Oh, I know what I'd do if I was Brother Ken. Well, I'd put them things on. I'd do this. Would somebody want this thing this morning? I'm walking like a ridge runner this morning. Would anybody want to try this 12 on, see how you can do with it about 6 weeks? I mean, come on, I'll lace it up on you. Anybody want to put that right foot out? Honey, I'll put it on there and let you see how it feels this morning. I think that's the first time I've ever took my shoe off, preach. But honey, I'm telling you this morning, there's principles in this Bible. That flesh is in us. And so we better watch it. In Romans chapter number 7, verse 15. That which I do, I allow not. For what I would, that do I not. But what I hate, that do I. Do you ever find yourself doing something you wished you wasn't doing? Paul, one of the greatest preachers ever walked in a pair of shoes, had a problem with it. You know why? Because it was in him. And flesh is in us. Watch this. Verse 16, if then I do that which I would not, I can sin in the law that is good. Now then it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. For I know that in me, watch this. Well, this is going to hurt some of you's pride, because you think you're the best thing since banana pudding. For I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. For the will is present with me, but how to perform that which is good, I find not. I wish I didn't lose my temper. I wish sometimes I didn't get jealous. I wish sometimes that I didn't get poor mouthing on God. I come back this week and I felt so used. And the Holy Ghost said, well, you know, you've been asking for me to use you. How come you think it's strange if you feel used? Oh, Lord, use me. And I say, oh, Lord, I feel so used. You that ain't joining, we got a moss back limb out back. Flesh is in us. Number two, flesh reminds us, don't it? You ever seen things before you're saved and after you're saved and your mind goes to taking pictures? Not only this flesh is in us, but it reminds us. Romans 7, verse number 5. I got some good scriptures this morning. For when we were in the flesh, the motions of sin, which were by the law, did work in our members to bring forth fruit unto death. Folks, I'm going to tell you, I've done some ugly things and my mind haunts me. And young people, you better watch what these little hands touch, where these feet go, what these ears listen to, and what these eyes see. Because it's just like a projection reel. The devil, the flesh, punches rewind and brings it all in front of you all the time. Boy, wouldn't it been a blessing the day we got saved and God would have erased all that out of our mind. The first thing comes to me, when you pop my jaws, I pop you twice. But that ain't God's way. And when somebody tricks me in a deal, what I want to do is trick him back double. Because that's the way I was schooled. That's the way I lived a long time. And it's in here. It's programmed. Ain't it amazing when you even try to pray, the old devil mash rewind. Boy, that warfare of the mind. But now I'm going someplace this morning. If you just hold with me, I'm gonna try my best to help us. Am I helping anybody this morning? Now watch this. He reminds us. Romans 6 and 21. If this thing reminds us, watch this. What fruit had you then in those things whereof you're now ashamed? Stop, put it in park and think about it. Did your flesh ever do anything that helped you? Your flesh got you in things that you're ashamed of today. And buddy, that's in my past, some things I'm ashamed of. Now watch what he says. Romans 6:21. For the end of those things is death. He said, you ought to thank God that I saved you, because the track you was on, you was headed to hell. The flesh is abusive. It's in us. It reminds us. And the flesh battles us. Galatians 5:17. Watch your Bible. Galatians 5:17. For the flesh lusteth or warreth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary the one to the other, so that you cannot do the things that you would. There's a battle going on in you if the Holy Ghost lives in you. You listen to your preacher this morning. If you can partake in sin and sin don't bother you, honey, you're not a child of the King. He said the seed remaineth in you, and you cannot do the things habitually that you used to do. When I got saved, I could smoke a joint of weed. It was all right. But honey, when I come down, you know what? It was something going on in me. It had never been in me before. Something telling me, listen, boy, don't you pour that junk in on me. The Holy Ghost is down here. You better watch what you're pouring in on me. Some of you got saved and you got back to drinking a little bit. You know, something different now, though. Boy, the flesh likes it, but the Holy Ghost don't like what you poured in there. And now it's a battle, it's a fight going on all the time. When you was reading them dirty books before you got saved, it didn't bother you. But honey, when God saved you and come to live in your heart, now it's a battle going on. The old man of the flesh likes that filth, but the Holy Ghost says, no, get it away from me. It's a battle in our life every day that we live. And the best way you know if you're saved, if you're battling the flesh and you realize it. Flesh didn't bother me before I got saved, honey. I was having a time of my life, I thought. I mean, that stuff just led me to every pig pen, every hog sty. How come every beer joint, juke joint is so dimly lit? Because critters is in there. Have you ever cut on lights in a dark place and watched critters scramble? Boy, the night I cut a light on, and you know what was in our room? A mouse. My wife jumped up. She said, where was that at? He was doing fine till the lights cut on. But honey, when the lights turned on, he was scrambling. And if sin's not bothering you this morning, I'd be checking up to find out if the light of Jesus really lived in my heart or not. I'm not saying that you won't sin and you won't try to go back to the things you was doing. But honey, according to this verse right here, the Bible says the flesh lusts against the Spirit and the Spirit against the flesh. These are contrary to one another so that you cannot do the things that you would. I love to be ugly, but I hate to apologize. I mean, it's easy for me to be ugly to my wife. It comes just like that. She told me I just got a new puppy. Then Whitman's giving me a puppy. You ought to see that thing. I wish he'd stay at your house one weekend. I got him this morning. You know what? I was feeding him in the baby's bowl. She done told me not to do that once. Miss Sherry got a little leader. I didn't have nothing else to cut them scraps up on. But she said I did. She said, no, you could have went out there and got that other bowl, fed that dog in. You're going to quit feeding them critters out of our dishes we eating in. And it's hard for me to say, honey, you're right, I could have went and got his bow. But it was so handy just reaching that cabinet and get that little old young'un's bow, cut that thing up and set it out the door and said, glory to God, boy. I got that from my mama anyway. Renee, God my witness, yeah, she come first time she ever had a middle of our house, my mama. Some of y'all, we're in the country now. Don't make fun of country people unless you've been there. She'd feed the dog out of a gravy bowl. And that dog would chew on the ear of that bowl when it's done, it's so good. And then she'd wash it, you know, a little bit. And then she'd pour that gravy back in and set it on the bowl. And then look, she seen where that dog been gnawing on that bowl. And she didn't touch it, buddy. She didn't touch it. I said, pass me that white milk gravy, honey. I'm ready. Glory to God. Give me some of them homemade biscuits and that white milk gravy and some fried rabbit, fried chicken, Gordon. You won't call me but once, I'll be at the table. But have you ever noticed how critters hate the dark? And there's a battle going on in this flesh this morning. Our flesh is abusive. And then, watch this, verse 3. Our flesh must be attacked. He said, this is what I want you to do. Back in our text verse this morning, 1 Samuel 15 and verse number 3. He said, not only is your flesh abroad, not only is your flesh abusive, but your flesh has to be attacked. He said in verse number 3, now go and smite Amalek, and utterly destroy all that they have, and spare them not. Both slay both man, woman, infant, sucking ox, sheep, camel, and ass. Now watch this, verse 9. But Saul, there's a person of the flesh. But Saul and the people. You know what? My problems is your problem. Your problems is my problem. Saul and the people spared Agag and the best of the sheep and the ox and the fatlings and the lambs and all that was good. Now, obedience is better than sacrifice. Watch your Bible. He said, that thing must be attacked. And there's something here that I've got to get to. This thing's got to be killed. It's got to be attacked. Now watch this. In Romans 6 and verse number 12, you hold your Bibles. I'm going there. Romans 6 and 12. Now I want you to watch what I just read, how it corresponds. Let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body, that you should obey it in the lust thereof. Let not sin therefore reign. That word reign means king. Now he said, I want you to go and kill the king of the flesh. I want you to go and kill him. You know what they said? No. He said, we got rid of stuff that didn't mean nothing to us. Oh, Lord, you ain't getting it, but I'm going to stay here till you get this. He said, go kill the king. Amalek, go kill him. You know what he done? Neither he nor the people killed him. He said, we took care of the things that didn't mean nothing to us. You know what we do? We go pray and we go up on the oak tree and we say, no, we're going to bury all this flesh, all this stuff's problem with us. But we leave Amalek with his head up out of the ground and we walk out there from him. And for long, he's done got back out of that grave and he's walked over there to us. He said, let not him be king. Don't let your flesh be king. Sound like to me, we've got an option. Don't you tell me why I'm not like Jesus. That's your problem. Because we can be like Jesus. Let not means that I've got an option. This reminds me of stuff. They kept all the nice stuff and give the bad stuff away. That reminds me of Baptists bringing stuff to a prophet chamber. Stuff that ain't no good to them doesn't work. Y'all need my war out microwave? No, take it to your in-laws. What about this old washer? What about this old stove? It ain't no count. If it ain't no count at your house, it ain't no count at God's house. I've seen that and I just had to preach that this morning. Ain't it somehow we want to dump our junk off at God's house? We want to keep stuff that's real private too. Matter of fact, if you go giving God some stuff you're real private to, you may watch this old king leave your house. Boy, you know, some of y'all do away with flesh, but cussing's king. You want to keep that old cussing king. Cuss. And then some of you like that old fussing king. Fuss. You just love to fight, don't you? I mean, you'd rather fight than eat it out back. That old smoking king, you can do away with the flesh, but that flesh loves that nicotine, don't it? Oh, yeah, it does. It still likes it. Man, you give me a good chew of red, man, glory to God. It'll be good, but if something happened now, there's an old man in there going around don't like red, man. Boy, it just ain't what I thought it was. But I still crave it. Man, you don't think I would love to be in a deer stand, get me a good dip of Copenhagen, get that thing worked up and just that first spit. Well, some of y'all look. Okay, you can't relate to that. See if you can relate to this. You know, you can do away with everything but your little lottery ticket you buy. Yeah, you do all right with the nicotine. That don't bother you. Red man don't bother you. But boy, that lotto ticket doesn't make you spend everything that your baby ain't got no diaper money left. You moron. You a moron. You need mental help. Think you're going to win something, get you out on easy street. You don't want to be a millionaire. Look what they say on the TV, honey. They're the most miserable people in the world. If you got Jesus, you got everything this morning. Boy, we don't want to deal with king, oh dude. Who's king? Who's king? What's the biggest thing you fighting this morning? Who's that King Amalek at your house? I can tell you who mine is. I can tell you two of them, but I wouldn't dare tell the devil the other one. But you better know, honey, he loves to be king and he loves to reign. He loves to push people around. He don't like to free people. He loves to keep us in bondage. Some of you, your money's king. You do all right. They won't take up an offering for a preacher, an evangelist, a mission. You do all right with that. Somebody asks something that's private to you. Amen. I mean, it's easy to do with that. Hey, the other day I come out of a place in Kentucky. Am I doing okay on preaching? I bought me one of them new Magellans. Magellans? Anyway, to get you from point A to point Z, I got real problems with instructions and directions. There was a man come out of a motel in Kentucky, and I'd been in his truck, and he was writing all these road signs down. He had a list this long how to get there. And I said, you ain't got one of these Garmin MapQuest things? He said, oh no. I said, my wife been wanting us to get one. I said, I just ain't done. I just can't afford to do it. Holy Ghost said, give him yours. I said, Lord, this thing's still smelling new. I said, I got an old Garmin wore out back under my truck in the driveway at 403 back in Bowden. I'll mail that into him. Holy Ghost said, I didn't say he wanted the wore out Garmin. I want you to give him that new Magellan. Yeah. Yeah. Whew, his king, boy. I like that thing on my dad. Little wide screen. Little thin screen. You don't need to talk to you. She'll say, okay, preacher, no, you're having a problem. Turn on Adam Street. The only woman I ever met had a volume on it. Somebody say amen right there. Well, hallelujah. Now we're preaching this small. Up or down, up or mute. Mute. This is what I said. I said, Lord, I said, I don't know if I can get out of here without that thing. It's snowing. I went in the room. Holy Ghost just grieving me. You know when God's wanting to do something out of you and we quench Him, that's when we quench Him. And when He's wanting to do something in us, we grieve Him. But when He's wanting to do something out of us, we quench Him, makes us feel bad. And I walk in that room. I said, okay, Lord. I said, I can't go to bed with this in my heart. I said, if you really want me to give that boy this thing, would you let him come back out to his truck? And I raised my windows back and I looked. And God, as my witness, He stepped out of that room out in that snow and went right in that truck. I said, Lord, calf rope. I grabbed that thing on my dash and I wound it up. And I said, here, God wants you to have this. Now I'm going to bed. I said, my goodness. And I can't tell you that I ain't missed it. God wants the kings. It's easy to give Him stuff that don't bother. Some of you can't get to church. That's king. I mean, it just costs you too much to get out of that old pattern. But honey, let me tell you something. Obedience is better than sacrifice. Does God want you at church? Does God want you to pay your tithe? Does God want you to forgive somebody? Sometimes, honey, that old king of unforgiveness is big. I'm not going to forgive. I don't like. You ever see somebody in your blood that's boils when you see them walk up? When you're like a chained bull about it, you're saying, hi, how you doing? Deep down inside, your guts is burning. Because you so stinking eat up with jealousy. You done found somebody else can do something like you do it, and you're afraid they're going to get you a little spot. I'm glad to see people moving around in the church. Folks, some of y'all scattered out, ask these young'uns, why, somebody got your nest this morning. It's good for you. You sit around in one little click all the time, before long you get clicky. And then when you get mad, you're going to pull four or five benches out with you. I'd just rather you leave by yourself. Quit trying to pull on people because you ain't got right with God. Son, I don't even know where to quit this morning. But y'all know I'm telling the truth. So-and-so was ugly to me, and so-and-so was ugly to me. And I'm going to sit over here in this bench, and I'm going to tell y'all, and I'm going to fill y'all with my poison, and I'm going to fill y'all with my poison, and I'm going to fill you with my poison. And y'all throw that badge out and say, stop in the name of the Lord. And then before long you look and these four or five families going out of church because somebody didn't get right with God and pumped their poison in them. Now they kill three families because they won't get right with God. Little old clicky Baptist. Praise God, get rid of it. He said, I want you to go down there and kill the king, not bring him home, will you? Kill him. Kill that sucker. Paul talked about killing him on the cross. Crucify him daily. Boy, we don't want to mess with that king, though, do we? That thing that's always bothering us. You know, it's such a blessing to get rid of something that's been a bothering us and ain't bothering us no more. Oh, it's a blessing. I'm telling you, it's such a blessing to get rid of something that's been a bothering me, and all of a sudden you get it took care of and it ain't a bothering you no more. I mean, you just want to do a dance. Flesh is abroad. Flesh is abusive. Flesh must be attacked. Now, I want to say something. Miss Sherrod, I'm going to call you up too early. I need 5 minutes, and then I'm going to be done. But I've got to give you this, because this is the key. This is the power of the message. Look in Romans 6 now, and I'm going to give you three keys to keep the flesh killed. Romans 6. I got to want to be done before the Holy Ghost did. I'm give out. But God ain't. God wants you to see this. You tell me something, preacher. This flesh is bothering me. I've got an addiction. I've got a problem. And I want to know how in the world that new person living in me can have power over the old man. Here it is, Romans 6. Watch your Bible. There are three keys to the life of victory over sin. Number one is found in verse 3. You must know. Romans 6, verse 3. Know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus were baptized into His death? Therefore we're buried with Him by baptism unto death, as like Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father. Even so we also should walk in newness of life. First of all, the key is we must know. It has to do with revelation that God has put into our heart. Number two, not on the word know, but in verse 11 is a Bible word called reckon. Verse 11, likewise reckon ye also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Not only do we know, but this word is reckon. It's a bookkeeping term to calculate or act on the facts of being so. He said, I want you to calculate, and I want you to know. And then verse 13, here's the power principle, is yield. Neither yield ye your members as instruments of righteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto God as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. He said, when the old man comes to the door and knocks, say, I'm dead. It depends on what door you answer, because when the flesh knocks, the Spirit's knocking.
Now, which door are you going to open? Yield means this morning. Presenting ourselves in total surrender unto God. You know why you can't get through what's bothering you? Because you're eat up with flesh and you're disobedient to God and you will not surrender your will to Jesus. Presenting ourselves in total surrender unto God. You know what? The reason we fool around with sin is because we don't see it the way God sees it. The world sees sin as an accident, but God sees it as an abomination. The world sees it as a blunder. God sees it as blindness. The world sees it as a chance, but God sees it as choice. The world sees it as defeat, but God says it's a disease. The world sees it as an error, but God says it's an enmity. The world sees it as fascination. God sees it as fatality and filth. The world sees it as a mistake, but God sees it as madness. But lastly, the world sees it as weakness, but God sees it as wickedness. Verse 8 of that text, not only is flesh abroad, flesh is abusive, flesh must be attacked, but you'll find out that flesh is alive. He brought the king back. He don't have to be this morning. What's bothering you? There's things that battle me, and I'm telling you the most simplest country boy vernacular I know to give you. When flesh rises up, don't open the door. Reach and do what the Holy Ghost is bidding you to do. Our ways is not His ways. He knows the best. And your flesh of the Amalekites is going to get you in a world of trouble. Beware. Your sin will find you out. He said, what's that I hear lowing? I thought you took care of that. Well, no, see, your sin's going to find you out. You're not going to hide your sin. They're going to be exposed on you. And I wished I had time to tell you more. But this morning I want to ask you, won't you come and get on this altar and kill King this morning? That biggest part of the flesh that's really giving you problems that you know God. I tell you, another thing in the flesh is worry. May God help us to get rid of every bit of our flesh, because obedience is better than sacrifice. It's nothing like being obedient to the Lord. Brother Dave, what's your number? 357. Y'all stand with us all over the house. You need